Holding on to the Hey Amud Beis Mishnah. The last Mishnah we talked about, Chumras, where the Chumras in Truma over Kodshim. The first Mishnah of the Perek talked about Chumras, about Milas, 10 or 11 Milas of Kodshim over Truma. The next Mishnah talked about, on the other hand, we have cases where we trust Amei Oretz as far as Kodshim, but not Truma, and now continuing on that topic of when we trust Amei Oretz, even though usually we wouldn't. The Mishnah says, Mina Maidim Velifnim. From Maidim, that's the famous city of the Pashtus, the famous city of Maidim, where the Chashmonaim were from, whatever it is, whether it's that or someplace else, anyway, from there in the direction of Yerushalayim, which the Gemara elsewhere mentions, it actually brings, is 15 mil. The modern city of Maidim is a good deal more than 15 mil, would be about 10 miles. The modern city of Maidim is a good deal further from Yerushalayim than that, so maybe it's not in the same place. Whatever the case, good morning, Avraham Moshe. So from Maidim and further in towards Yerushalayim, Ne'eman and Al-Klei Cheres, we trust even Amei Ha'aretz when they're selling earthenware kalim, we trust them that those kalim were done v'tara and were able to buy them and use them in Yerushalayim. The reason we were able to use them for Kodshim and for Truma. The reason is, Rashi says, the Gemara tells us in Bava Kamma, you're not allowed to, there's a number of rules in Yerushalayim that don't apply anywhere else. One of them is you're not allowed to have their ovens, kilns, for making earthenware, because those produce a lot of smoke, and the smoke is going to blacken the walls of Yerushalayim. So therefore, practically speaking, anybody who wants earthenware, kalim in Yerushalayim, and that was most of the kalim people used in those days, were made of earthenware. So therefore, they would have to buy them from people outside Yerushalayim, and therefore, so if the Chachamim were to say that you couldn't buy them from Amei Ha'aretz, only from Chaverim, it would be an example of a Gzeira She'in Revat Tzibur Yecholim Lamed Ba. Most people wouldn't be able to handle such a Gzeira, because what are they going to do? The Gemara is going to distinguish, actually, between small and larger kalim. We're talking primarily over here, smaller kalim. For example, pots, cups, bottles, jugs, things like that, as opposed to, the Gemara is going to talk about later, gigantic kalim. Like you go sometimes to museums and you see these gigantic earthenware, you see these gigantic earthenware kalim that they use for storing huge amounts of wine or oil or whatever. Those, the Gemara is going to say later on, there are different rules for those. But what we call klei cheres hadakim, small klei cheres, those, since you can't buy them in Yerushalayim, because nobody's allowed to run a pottery oven in Yerushalayim, necessarily you have to buy them from people outside the city, and therefore the Chachamim are going to allow you to buy them from an Amei Ha'aretz as long as he's from Maidim and closer to the city. So within 15 mil of the city of Yerushalayim. But outside Maidim, then we don't trust them, because then you have the usual rule that the kalim that an Amei Ha'aretz handled are assumed to be tamei. So what does this mean? And now, by the way, we're saying from Maidim inward and from Maidim outward. What about in Maidim itself? We'll see in the Gemara. Ketzad, so what does this mean? Hakadosh shu moicher akderes, you have a potter is selling pottery, is selling kderes, means pots, but it means any of the other kind of small clay cheres that we were talking about. Nichnas lefnim min ha-Maidim, so if that seller comes closer to Yerushalayim than Maidim, hu hakader, as long as it is the same potter, meaning that he came from outside Maidim and now he's traveling closer to Yerushalayim and he still has his pots with him. So in other words, as opposed to, Rashi says, if he were to give them to another potter, then not. But if it's the same potter who made them and he's now traveling from beyond Maidim to past Maidim, and it's the same pots, meaning that he can't, for example, go on his way, buy pots from another potter and add them to his stock, and it's the same buyers, meaning that the chaverim who want to buy them see that he brought them, and they're the same ones who saw him traveling from before to here to Naaman. Then we trust him, and they're able to buy these pots from him. The Rambam has a different explanation of this phrase, hu akadu vehin akderes vehin aloikin. It means even though it's the very same potter, where he's traveling from one place to another, and we can see it, the same potter, the same pots, and we're the same buyers, and we see him in one place versus another, but we're only allowed to buy from him when we're closer to Yerushalayim than Magian. We're not allowed, even though it's the exact same potter, might be then traveling away from Yerushalayim and passing Magian, we still can't buy his pots from him, even though you're going to say, I mean, it's the same pot, it's the same potter. If we trusted him in one place, why shouldn't we trust him in another? Nevertheless, that's how the Gzeder of the Chachamim works. Yotze in a Neman, so the Mishnah finishes off. If he leaves the area, if he leaves the area of Medin, if he goes further away from that, and then comes back in a Neman, then we don't trust him anymore that his pots are Tahar, then we have the usual rule that we can only buy from a Chok. So now, again, we said in the Mishnah, Medin, we said beyond Medin, we said within, we said closer in than Medin. What about Medin itself? Tana, so we learn in a Braisa, Merdiyim pa'amim kalachnim, pa'amim kalachot. Sometimes, for certain purposes, Merdiyim is considered like areas closer to Yerushalayim, and you're able to buy the pots from the guy without having to worry about Tumah V'Tahara. And sometimes, pa'amim kalachot, sometimes it's considered like the areas further away. We have to remember, of course, that this whole thing of, that you're not allowed, that there would be a problem buying the pots from him to begin with, is only Dirabanan. Daraisa, there's no particular reason to assume that the Amar Oretz is Tomei. The whole concept is we're talking Tumas Amar Oretz is Dirabanan, because we're concerned that he's not careful with Tumah V'Tahara, and therefore he may have become Tomei without realizing it. So given that it's a Din Dirabanan, then the Rabbanan, the same Rabbanan who made the rules, can also impose them in some cases and relax them in some other cases. So the mission, so the Gemara says, Ketzad, what does this mean? Kader Yotzev Chover Nichnas, if the potter is on his way out, the, is on his way out from beyond Medin, and he comes in, Yotze, he's coming from outside, he's going from outside Medin and coming into Medin, the Chover Nichnas, meanwhile a Chover is, or the other way around rather, the Kader is going outward from Yerushalayim, he's on his way, leaving Yerushalayim, and he goes into the city of Medin, the Chover Nichnas, meanwhile the Chover is coming from the opposite direction, heading towards Yerushalayim and comes into Medin, Kilifnim, then Medin itself is considered like further in. Because, in other words, then you're allowed to buy from this potter and assume that the Kalim are Tahar and bring them to Yerushalayim and use them for your Truma or Kodshim. The reason is because, basically, Rashi says, Im Layakshave Masai, when are you going to have another opportunity? The guy is leaving, you're going to be crossing paths. So if you don't buy from him now, you're not going to have another opportunity. You're not necessarily going to find another potter between here and Yerushalayim, again, given that you're not allowed to have pottery kilns in Yerushalayim itself. So therefore, you're allowed to buy from him. On the other hand, Shneim Nichnasim, but if both of them are heading from beyond Medin and passing and coming into Medin, so then in that case, so don't buy from him in Medin. Wait until you're past Medin, and then you'll have the din that it says in our Mishnah that when you're between Medin and Yerushalayim, then you're allowed to trust him on his Kli Feres. So then we don't give him the dispensation of buying them in Medin, because now it's not in Layakshav Masai. Now you have the option of buying them when you're walking a little further along. Oishnei and Yotzim, or if both of them are leaving, both of them are traveling away from Yerushalayim. So you would have had the, you could have bought from him before he came to Medin. Now they came to Medin and all of a sudden you realize, you know what, I need to buy Kli Feres. Too late. And Rashi says, all the more so, if it's the other way around, if the potter is coming toward Yerushalayim and the chaver is leaving, so then wait until the potter, so wait until the potter passes Medin and is closer to Yerushalayim, and then you chaver turn around and go and buy from him then, if you got the need to buy. So then, in those cases, kalachot, in all those cases, then Medin is considered like the areas away from Yerushalayim. So the only out of the four possibilities, depending which way the potter is going and depending which way the chaver is going, the only one where you'll be able to buy from him in Medin itself is only if you, the chaver, are coming towards Yerushalayim and the potter is going away from Yerushalayim. In all other cases, you would have to buy from him between Medin and Yerushalayim, not in the city of Medin itself. Obviously, again, we're talking about only when you're buying them. Good morning, Yaakov. We're talking about when you're buying them for purposes of truma or truma or kodshim or maaser sheni or what have you. Obviously, if you're buying them for chulin and you're not one of those people who eats chulin or power takodesh, then it doesn't much matter. Let the pots be tamei. It doesn't matter. They're not going to be tamei your food anyway. So Amar Abaye, Afanan Nami Tanena. Abaye says, in fact, we can see this distinction not only from the Braisa, we see it in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah had said, Hakadosh Shemachar Sakdevus, a potter is selling his pots, the Nichnas Lefnim Min Amadim, that he came closer than Medim. He's between Medim and Yerushalayim. And then we're saying you're allowed to buy from him. Taima delifnim in Amadim. So evidently the Mishnah is implying that only because he's closer than Medim are you allowed to buy from him. Ho Medim gufaloi, loy meheman. Implying that if he's in Medim itself, we wouldn't believe him that his pots were made batara, unless of course he's a chover, but most potters were amiores. But Ema Sefer, but then look at the next part of the Mishnah, continues Abaya, Yotze Einan Neman, where the Mishnah says if he goes out, meaning implying that he leaves Medim, then he's not believed. Ha Medim Gufa Neman, implying that in Medim itself he would believe him. So don't the two parts of the Mishnah contradict themselves? One seems to imply that in Medim itself it's fine, and the other that not. Ela Lab Shmamina, so it must be that we can derive from that, that the Mishnah is making exactly the same distinction as the Braisa, that when do we trust him in Medin itself, when the potter is leaving and the chover is coming, whereas the second part of the Mishnah that says, or the first part of the Mishnah rather, that implies that you don't trust him even in Medin, is talking about when both of them are leaving or both of them are coming. So again, when both of them are leaving, as Rashi said, you missed your opportunity. You could have bought from him while he was between Medim and Yerushalayim, and you didn't, so you lost your opportunity. And if you're both coming closer to Yerushalayim, then fine, wait till you're past Medim and then buy from him. Shmamina. So that proves it, that there is that distinction. So sometimes you're allowed to buy from him in Medim, sometimes you're not. Okay. Now, Tana, we learn in a Braisa. When it comes to Kodesh, we trust them about small Klei Cheres. Meaning, now Rashi says like this. All this time, we've been saying that Gasim versus Dakim means big ones, for example, the kinds that you use to store large amounts of wine, versus small ones, the kinds that you use on a day-to-day basis, pots and cups and things like that. Rashi brings a second explanation that he heard from his Rebbeim, that dakin over here means ones where the opening of them is so small that you wouldn't be able to fit your finger inside it. So then, in that case, so there's less concern, given that a kli cheres doesn't become tummy from the outside, only from the inside, then therefore, Rashi says, as Rebbeim learned, unless the container has an opening wide enough to stick a finger into, then there's no possibility that the Amoritz touched the inside of it, and therefore there's no reason to say that there would be a problem with it. However, Rashi doesn't like that explanation, because the Gemara is going to say in a minute that even if we do see that he put his finger or his clothing or whatever inside there, we still trust that it's Tahor. So therefore it can't be that distinction. So it has to be, Rashi says, the distinction between small ones that are used on a day-to-day basis, like cups and pots and bottles, versus large ones that are used for long-term storage of wine and oil and things like that. So the Braisa says, Nemanin b'klei cheres hadakin l'kodesh. When it comes to kodesh, we're trusting them regarding small klei cheres, because you're constantly needing them. Further on the Amud, Rashi points out that you need, for example, people who live in Yerushalayim and are producing wine and oil to sell to people or to give to people to use for nesachim, so they need small containers to put that in. And Rashi also adds, people who live in Yerushalayim are cooking shlomim; they need pots to be able to cook the shlomim in, and they need them on a constant basis, because you have another issue as well. Whenever you cook kodshim in a pot, then afterwards you have to kasher it, because otherwise the material, the substance of the food, the molecules of the food that got absorbed into the pot become noisome. What? So a kosher, it's exactly, you can't. The only thing you can do is break it. So therefore in Yerushalayim they had a constant need for pots and other small containers like that. So therefore, and again, since we said you can't make them in Yerushalayim itself, so therefore we're saying we can trust the Amei Haaretz and we can buy from them between Medin and Yerushalayim. And by the way, it doesn't only mean Medin. That was just a particular landmark on the road in one direction of Yerushalayim. It means the same. Generally, when the Gemara says that, it usually means the same distance in any other direction. So whatever other direction you're traveling from Yerushalayim, if you're closer to Yerushalayim than Medin is to Yerushalayim, then you'd be allowed to. So Omer Shlokish Vushin Itolin B'Yodei Ach. So the Shlokish says, what do we mean by Klei Cheres Hadakin? Is only if they're small enough to be picked up with one hand. Rabbi Yechanan, Apilu she'ein etolim yada achas. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, even if they're too large to pick up with one hand, but they're not the gigantic kalim that are used only for long-term storage of wine or oil or whatever, then you'd be allowed to buy them from the Amoraites. And of second machlokes, Amar Reish Lakish loishanu ela rekonin. Furthermore, Reish Lakish said you can only buy them from the Amoraites only if they're empty. Ava malein loy, but not if they're filled, because if they're full, then they're full of liquid that the Amoraites put in there, wine or oil or what have you, and we can't necessarily trust his tara. We learned previously that we can trust his tara during the pressing season, or as we're going to say in the next couple of Mishnayos, during Yom Tov itself, but not the rest of the year. So if they're full of liquid, then not. But Rabbi Yochanan says, no, afilu meleim, even if they're full, even if you have his afikosusai inside the container. Now Rashi over here doesn't seem to clearly define what afikosusai is. Rashi just says afilu meleim mashkin shalosha ein shal kodesh, even if it's full of his own mashkin, which are not kodesh, but that doesn't really define what afikosusai is. In fact, it seems maybe that the words afilu afikosusai desoichai are not dibra maschil in Rashi; they're really a continuation of the previous Rashi. So in other places, Rashi explains that afikosusai means his head scarf, the turban or the scarf or whatever that he would wear on his head. So even if you have, now when Amoraites is clothes, we learned before, our tome, because we don't know, because the Amoraites is not careful on tome matara, but in this case, even if an edge of his afikosusai is hanging down into the container, so you would say, well then for sure the container is tome, it has clothes of an Amoraites inside it. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan says, we still trust him on the tara of the container. We still trust him to say that he was careful to make sure that his turban didn't become tome. The Aruch explains afikosusai rather not as a turban, but rather as an undershirt. Same idea though. So Rabbi Yochanan would say, even in that case, we still say that we can trust the Amoraites that the keli itself is tahor. Omar Rava umoyder Rabbi Yochanan b'mashkin atzman shehen tahor shehen tmei. Rabbi Yochanan does agree about the liquid itself that's in the container that they would be tomei. So he would say, in other words, so you bought this full container from the Amoraites, you are going to have to treat the liquid in the container as tomei, because after all, it was handled by an Amoraites. But the Chachamim are allowing you to consider the container itself as tahor. But al tisma, don't be so surprised about that, says Rava. Shari login mole mashkin, because we had a case a few days ago where on Daf Chof Beis, we had a machlokes b'shamay b'shilol on the subject where we said b'shilol ended up agreeing with b'shamay, where you have a kli cheres that belongs to an amoretz blocking a skylight between the bottom floor and the second floor of a house. And we said, you had a case over there where there was a bottle, suppose in the upper floor, there was a bottle, a wooden bottle, let's say, which is makabel tumah, and it's full of liquid. So login mole mashkin. So we said login tnei tumas shiva. So the shamai had said, and that ends up being the halacha, that the bottle becomes tome for 7 days, meaning so with the case we had over there was you had a mess in the bottom floor, in the ground floor of the house. You had a kli cheres of an amoretz blocking the skylight between the ground floor and the second floor. In the second floor, you had a bottle, a wooden bottle, let's say, full of liquid. And the shamai had said that the kli cheres, being that it's the kli cheres of an amoretz, it can't block the tumma completely because it itself is tumme, and the rule is kli tumme eini choytzet. A keli that tumme cannot block tumma. However, Beis Shammai had said the liquid in the bottle would remain tahor. The bottle itself would become tumme. He said the svara over there was because if you the chaver later on want to borrow the bottle from the amoretz, you're going to know, look, it's a keli of an amoret. I have to tovel it before I have to tovel it and maybe even have it sprinkled with paradrum water before I use it. As opposed to the liquid, you're not going to be able to borrow from him anyway because you know liquids can't become tahor. There's no way of toveling them in a mikveh. So you're not going to borrow them from him in the first place. So the same way over there as we can say that the bottle is tomei and the liquid inside is tahor, the same way here we can say the other way around that the container, Rabbi Yochanan would say, is tahor and the liquid inside it is tomei. In fact, actually, Rabbi Hananel So that's the thing. Usually, so no, midaraisa liquid can't make a keli tame anyway. Only midirabanan it could. Midirabanan liquids are usually a rishon and they can be matame keli. But here, the Rabbi Yochanan is saying the chachamim themselves allowed you to buy this pot from this container from the amaris. So we don't even care if there's liquid inside. You're gonna have to spill out the liquid, or you're gonna have to use it as chulin. You find you're allowed to eat chulin that are tame, but it won't affect the container itself. By the way, actually, Rabbi Chananel has a gusa the other way around. He says it's not our gusa that we have in the Gemara. Is Rabbi Yochanan is agreeing that even though the container is tahu, he still agrees with Rish Lakish that the liquid is tame. Rabbi Chananel has a gusa the other way around. That Rish Lakish is saying, even though we can't trust them about the full Kli Cheres, nevertheless, even though we can't trust them about the Kli Cheres, we can trust them about the liquid. And therefore, the example of the bottle and the liquid is exactly the same thing. The same way as we say over there, the bottle is Tomei and the liquid is Tahar, the same way Rish Lakish would say over here, the Keli is Tomei, but the liquid inside is Tahar. So that's that then. So the bottom line is you are allowed to, in some cases, because of the shortage of clay cheres in your shalayim, then therefore you're allowed to buy them from an amaretz under certain conditions, and assume that they're tahar and use them even for kodesh. Next, the Mishnah continues. Here's another example of trusting amaretz or even rishoyim about tumah v'tahara. The Mishnah says, "Hagaboyin shenichdesu l'seich habayis." If collectors come into the house, so Rashi explains that it means collecting, that it means tax collectors. So these are Jews who are collecting taxes on behalf of a goyish king. There is a different explanation that some Mepharshim say actually that it means gaboy tzedakah. Whatever the case, shenichdesu l'seich habayis, they went into the house. And the problem is we don't know what they touched inside the house. The same way if thieves previously had stolen from the house and now they're returning what they stole. The Gemara is going to explain later that we're talking about where the thieves are doing tshuva. So we trust them to say that they didn't touch anything else in the house. Now, Rashi says we're talking specifically, we trust them as far as Kodesh, but we don't trust them as far as Truma. So this would be another case where we have a Chumrah of Truma over Kodesh. Tosfos, on the other hand, learns that we are talking about both Kodesh and Truma. Both Rashi and Tosfos agree that we don't trust them as far as things involving Parah Adruma, because there you need a higher standard of Tara. But in other words, the idea is, Rashi says, these people are used to being around Truma. These Gaboyim, they're regularly going collecting taxes. In particular, the Gemara mentions in other places that many times these Gaboyim, these people who are collecting taxes, were not always the most honest people. So therefore, so we don't trust them as far as Truma Vatara. But in this particular case, we do. We trust them to say, in Yerushalayim, well, no, saying even outside Yerushalayim, we trust them to a certain extent to say that they didn't touch things beyond what they were supposed to, as we'll see in the Gemara why. Yerushalayim, ne'eman and ala kodesh. Now, in Yerushalayim, we trust them regarding kodesh. And we'll see in the Gemara what that means, because we already said that we're trusting them as far as kodesh even outside Yerushalayim, so we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Over shasa regel, and during Yom Tov, afala truma, we will trust them even as far as truma, because as the Gemara is going to say, amei ha'aretz are considered tahor during the Yom Tov, for reasons that we'll discuss in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Ramini, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me in our Mishnah that if these gaboyim, these tax collectors come into the house, then we trust them to say that they didn't touch anything that they weren't supposed to. Or a mini, but I have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Taurus. The Mishnah there says, "Hagaboyin shenichnasu l'seich habayis." If tax collectors come into a house, habayis kulei tomei, then everything that's in the house is tomei, because likely the gaboyim, these tax collectors, are looking and opening up everything and checking inside things to make sure that the guy is not evading taxes and he's not keeping things that he should have to pay taxes on or whatever. So what are we saying in our Mishnah that we trust them to say that they didn't touch? And the answer is like Kasha. The difference is whether there's a goy together with them or not. Now what's the difference? So Rashi explains like this. If there's a goy with them, they're afraid to not do their job properly, and their job includes opening up all the containers and all the barrels and all the everything and checking if there's anything that the guy is trying to evade taxes. So now we can't trust them to say they didn't open anything. They would be afraid of the goy because he's going to tell them to do their job properly. The Rambam learns the other way. The Rebbe Chananel and the Rambam learns the other way around, actually. That if the goy is with them, he's going to make sure, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, that they're not going to do any more than they're supposed to. Their job is to come into the house and tell you, you owe X amount of taxes, pay up. Their job is not, according to the way that Rabbi Chananel and the Rambam learn, their job is not to open up everything and rummage through everything. Therefore, Fakesh, if the goy, their supervisor, is with them, he's going to make sure they don't do that. As opposed to if there's no goy yet. So that's according to the Rambam. So Rashi and the Rambam are exactly the opposite as far as what the presence of the goy does. According to Rashi, the fact that the goy is there makes it they're more likely to rummage through everything because they're afraid he's gonna report on them to the king that they're not doing their job properly. And according to the Rambam, the other way around, he's gonna make sure that they stick exactly to what they're supposed to do. Yeah. So Ditznan, as in fact the Mishnah there continues in Taras. Im yesh nochri imahan, if there's a goy with them, ne'emonim loy maloy nechnasnu, then we can trust them if they say we didn't come into this house at all. Aval ein ne'emonim loy nechnasnu, aval loy naganu. But we don't trust them to say that we came in and we didn't touch anything. So therefore, so we see that the presence or the absence of a goy makes a difference. Now, the question is, b'chi'ikim nochri ba'adayu mai havi, what exactly does it accomplish if a goy is there? So Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Lazar argue on what the presence of the goy does. One says they're afraid of the goy himself. So according to Rashi, we're talking about that the goy himself might punish them if they're not doing their job. According to the Rambam, I guess it would also be that way, but the difference is, what do we consider to be their job? According to Rashi, the goy wants them to rummage through everything, and therefore if they don't do it, then he's going to punish them himself. Or according to the Rambam, the other way around, their job is not to rummage through everything, and therefore if they do, then he's going to punish them. The other says it's not that they're afraid of the goy himself, they're afraid of the king, that he might go and tell on them to the king. Well, the Gemara says, my benayu, so what's the practical difference between these reasons? And the answer is, ikka benayu, nochri she'ene choshuv, if he's an unimportant goy. So they don't have to be afraid of him. He doesn't have any power over them directly, but he still has the power to go and tell on them to the king. So therefore, according to Emas Nochri Aleim, we would say if he's an unimportant guy, then it doesn't make a difference one way or the other. Whereas according to the second reason, we would say that whether unimportant or not, either way, he has the ability to go and master them to the king. Okay, the Rambam passed like the first one, Emas Nochri Aleim, and therefore it means he has to be an Adam Choshuv, because again, the Rambam learns that the point is that the Goy prevents them from opening things, so therefore, if he's an unimportant Goy, then they're not afraid to open things, they're not going to pay any attention to him. Then we said in the Mishnah, V'chein ha-ganovim she'achziru es ha-kelim, we said the same way, if thieves had returned kelim that they stole, then we say we trust them to say that they didn't touch anything else in the house. So the Gemara says, Ramini, I have a contradiction. Also from a Mishnah over there in Taurus, the same Mishnah actually, ha-ganovim she'nichnesu l'seich ha-bayis, if thieves go into a house, ein tomei el-makam judisus ragla ha-ganovim, only the area where their feet stepped, is Tomei, meaning, in other words, any kalim that were on the floor in the areas where they're stepping, we assume to be Tomei. So fine, we're not going to say that everything else in the house is Tomei if we don't have any evidence that they touched anything else in the house. But at least the things that are in their path on the floor are Tomei. Certainly, Rashi adds, they're the ones that they picked up and stole, and now they're returning. For sure, we should assume they made them Tomei. So what is it? Maybe they use them, or just the fact that they touched them. And the answer is Amar Pinchas Mishmei Rab or the Rabba. It says on the side. Anyway, Kisha Osu Tshuva. Our Mishnah is talking about when they did Tshuva. So therefore, they're not going to lie. The Mishnah in Taurus is talking about when they didn't do Tshuva. So then we have to assume that anything that they might have touched, namely at least anything in their path, that might be Tomei. But here we're talking about they returned the Kalim. Therefore, we can trust them when they say we didn't use these Kalim or we didn't handle them in a way that would make them Tomei, then we can trust them. because they're doing tshuva after all. And the Gemara says, Dekanami, after all, we can see that from the words of the Mishnah, Dekatani Shach Zidu Es HaKelim, because it says they returned the Kalim, implying that they did tshuva. Shmamina, it's a good, that proves it, that that's what we're talking about. The reason why, by the way, was, so why don't we say that everything else in the house is Tomei as well, when they didn't do tshuva, the reason is because they're in a hurry. They want to grab something and run out quickly. They don't want to stay in there too long because the balabas might come home. Therefore, we don't assume that they rummaged through everything else in the house. Therefore, we can assume that only the area where they're stepping is Tomei, because those they would grab and run, but not necessarily anything else. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Yerushalayim ne'emanan al HaKodesh. In Yerushalayim, we trust these gaboyim or these ganovim regarding Kodesh as well. So what does that mean? We already said that we trust them as far as Kodesh. So it means, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, ne'emanan al kli cheres gasin l'kodesh. It means that up until now, we've only been talking about small earthenware of Kalim. Now we're saying that in Yerushalayim, we trust them even regarding the Tara of large kli cheres, the kind that you use for long-term storage of wine or oil or whatever. V'chokach loma, why is that? And that applies. So we're saying we trust them even on klei cheret hagasin. Certainly we trust them on dakin. Both Rashi and Tosfos point that out from the Yerushalmi. But the b'chol kach lama is everything that we've been talking about so far as earthenware kalim. Why are we allowed to buy small earthenware kalim from potters between Medim and Yerushalayim, even though the potters are Amei Aretz? Why over here are we saying that we trust the gaboyim or the ganovim even about large earthenware kalim in Yerushalayim? The reason is she'ein oisin kibshonis v'Yerushalayim, because like we said before, you're not allowed to have kilns for making their pottery in Yerushalayim, so necessarily they have to bring all their pottery from outside. So now, when it comes to small containers, usually, small containers everybody uses. Everybody uses them on a day-to-day basis. And like we said, anybody who cooks a shlomim or any other korban in a pot is going to have to break the pot afterwards because there's no way to kasher it. So the chachamim made kolos. Now, when it comes to large kalim, though, usually the only ones who use such large kalim in Yerushalayim are the people who are dealing with the gizvarim who are dealing with the property of Hekdesh. Balei alishka, Rashi says, the ones who take care of the lishka where they keep wine and oil for the bis mikdash. So with them, we don't give them the dispensation of min hamadiyim v'lefnim, because they're not such a large clientele. They only need, they're a smaller group of people. They're only dealing with the wine and oil of the bis mikdash directly. So with them, we only give them kulis in Yerushalayim itself, that if gaboyim or ganovim came into their house, we'll trust them to say that they didn't touch those large kalim, so that the balei alishka don't have to break those kalim and buy new ones. But other than that, we're going to say that they can only buy these large kalim right outside Yerushalayim. They can't go as far as Medim and buy them over there. Then we said in the Mishnah, v'shasa regal afal atzuruma, we said that during Yom Tov, we trust these gaboyim or ganovim even regarding the Tara of Truma. And more generally, we said before that we trust Amei Aretz about that. So Manani Mili, where do we know that from? Amar Rabbi Shor ben Levi, the Omakra, the Pasuk says, v'yet osif kol ish Yisrael al-ir. This is talking about in the story of Pelegesh Begiva. So all the Jewish people gathered, all the other Shvatim except for Shevet ben Yamin, gathered around the city of Giva, ki ish echad chaverim, and they were like one man, all chaverim, all friends, all colleagues. So therefore, it means akosav asan kulam chaverim. So it means when the Jewish people are all gathered together, then the pasuk considers them all chaverim. Chaverim means, we said before, means people who are careful in Tumah v'Tahara. So therefore, from that pasuk, now the whole thing is derabanan. The whole concept that Amei Aretz is Tomei itself, or Tomei itself is derabanan. But the point is, we have an asmachta in this pasuk for the idea that at the time of Yom Tov, when all the Jewish people are gathering, then we can consider them chaverim, and therefore we consider that they're tahor, which is going to be the subject of the next two mishnayos. That the fact that we suspend the tumah of an Amei Aretz during Yom Tov. An interesting point in this regard is the Yerushalmi learns that concept from a different pasuk in Tillim. Ki'ir shechubra lo yachdav shesham olu shvatim shivtei ka. that the Cheshachobra is also in the Lashon Chaverim. So when everybody is gathering in the city of Yerushalayim, then we consider them to be Chaverim. There's a Sikha in Chelek Lamed Zayin where the Rebbe analyzes, or a Rambam Sikha, where the Rebbe analyzes those the Pesukim that are given here in the Bavli versus in the Yerushalmi, and also the understandings of Rashi versus the Rambam about why we're doing this. Rashi doesn't say over here, but Rashi in a different place says the reason is basically because we don't want to embarrass them. If we make that the Amei Oras are Tomei, even during the Yom Tovim, we would be embarrassing them publicly, and we don't want to do that. And we learned previously on Daf Kof Beis, we don't want that they were going to say, you know what, I'll go build my own Bais Mikdash, I'll go make a Boma for myself. So therefore, whereas the Rambam phrases it, that the reason is because all the Jewish people make themselves Tohar in order to be Olah L'Regel, so they are in fact Tohar. And then the Rebbe analyzes in that Sikha, now we're going to learn in the following Mishnayos, that what happens is, we do consider them to be Tohar during the Yom Tovim, however, really, all along they were Tomei. Therefore, right after the Yom Tov, whatever it was they touched during Yom Tov, we're going to consider retroactively Tomei. So now, so the Rebbe discusses in that Sikha then, so according to the Rambam, if they're Matahar themselves, then why should that be? The fact is they were Matahar themselves. Why after Yom Tov does it go back to being Tomei? And so the idea is, the pasuk that we're mentioning over here, Ki Isha Echad Chaverim, means that when all the Jewish people are gathered together, and it doesn't even have to be in Yerushalayim, the pasuk we're talking about over here is the gathering by Pelegish, is the gathering by Giva, by Givas Binyamin. Only the pasuk the Yerushalmi brings mentions Yerushalayim. So therefore, the idea is that Eber says, when all the Jewish people are gathered together, then they become a new Metzius. They become a Metzius Metzius. And therefore, different rules apply. Whereas after Yom Tov, when everybody leaves and goes back home, then the Metzius of the Tzibur goes away, then they go back to being Yechidim, so then as Yechidim, then their Tomei and whatever they touched on an individual basis over Yom Tov goes back to the usual rules of Tumah V'Tahara. Only during Yom Tov, because temporarily they were a Tzibur, then therefore we suspend the rules of Tumah V'Tahara. So the Mishnah continues, HaPeseach Es Chavisoi, if a person opened up a barrel, for example, of wine, and the idea was, so he's a chaver, he has a store in Yerushalayim, and he's selling wine, so everybody who comes, so people come throughout the Yom Tov to buy wine from him, Amei Oretz and Chaverim, everybody is touching the barrel, and touching even the contents of the barrel, because like they'd put a finger in, for example, to get a taste of the wine or whatever. So he opened up his barrel, he didn't sell the whole thing over Yom Tov. Now the question is, what happens after Yom Tov? Is he allowed to still consider the remaining contents of it to her? Or the same thing, if he began a batch of dough, where again the idea is people are coming during Yom Tov and buying pieces of dough from him. Al Gav HaRegel, he did that preparing for the Yom Tov, which means, by the way, not even during the Yom Tov itself. Siach Yitzchok says it means even he's doing it before the Yom Tov, getting ready for Yom Tov. So now what happens after Yom Tov? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yigmer. Rabbi Yehuda says that he's allowed to complete it, which the Gemara in Beitza explains that Rabbi Yehuda considers this an example of Hitiru Soifan Meshum Tchilasan. That there are certain cases when even though a later stage of something really by rights ought to be Osir, the Chachamim are allowing it because otherwise if you don't allow him the later stage, he's not going to do the earlier stage either. The Gemara in Beitza gives a few examples. For example, one example over there is you're allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov, you know. Now in principle, you shouldn't be allowed to do anything with the skin. The problem is, that if you do that, if you prevent him from doing anything with the skin, and it's going to spoil by Motzi Yom Tov, nobody's going to want a shecht on Yom Tov, and then you're not going to have meat for Yom Tov. So therefore, Tiros Seifen, Meshum Tchilasan, the Chachamim allowed him to do a certain limited thing with the skin to prevent it from getting spoiled. He's allowed to put it on the ground over there so people will step on it, and that starts the process of hardening it and tanning it or whatever. So that's an example. So there are such examples of Tiros Seifen, Meshum Tchilasan. So Rabbi Yehuda says that our Mishnah is another example of that. You don't allow him to sell the rest of his wine after Yom Tov, assuming that it's Tahar. He's not going to want to open the barrel before Yom Tov to sell anybody at all. We're going to miss out on Simchas Yom Tov. So therefore, since we consider during Yom Tov itself that the Amei Oretz are Tahar, then we're allowed to consider, says Rabbi Yehuda, that even after Yom Tov, whatever they touch, we're still going to consider Tahar until that barrel is empty. The Chachamim say that not. They don't hold, they hold of their concept of Itiru Soif Mishum Tchilasan, but they say over here it's not really a case of that. You could always, for example, when the Amei Aretz are going to your store, you tell them to begin with, be careful, don't put your fingers inside the wine. If you want a taste of the wine, then ask me and I'll give you some or whatever. So there is a way of avoiding the Amei Aretz from touching it in the first place, and therefore the Chum are going to say it's not Itiru Soif Mishum Tchilasan. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rav Ami v'Rav Yitzchak Napcha Akilo de Rav Yitzchak Napcha. One time Rav Ami and Rav Yitzchak Napcha were sitting by the Kila of Rav Yitzchak Napcha. So the Kila means the front porch or the entryway or something like that. Posachad v'Omar, one of them started the conversation asking, Maoshi Yanichena L'Regal Acher. Now, according to the Chachamim, that was saying that the chaver is not allowed to assume after Yom Tov that the remainder of this wine or this dough is tahor. He has to assume the fact is Amei Aretz touched it during Yom Tov. Therefore, now after Yom Tov, we go back to the usual rules. Whatever an Amei Aretz touched is tahor. Would the chaver be allowed to leave that barrel of wine, let's say, until the next Yom Tov and then consider it tahor again? So the other one says, what are you talking about? Yada koma mashmashunba. Everybody was touching it throughout the Yom Tov, including Amei Aretz. Ba'at amet yen chen le regal acher. You're saying you should leave it over for another Yom Tov? How is it possible? Well, of course, it became Tomei from the Amei Aretz touching it. Omale, so the first one says, nu, otu ad ha idna lav yada koma mashmashunba. Nu, and during the first Yom Tov, everybody was touching it also. And still we're saying that during the Yom Tov, we're considering it tahor. So why shouldn't we say the same thing over here during the next Yom Tov? And the second one says, Hochi Hashta, how are you comparing the two cases? Bishle ma'ada idna chuma sama aretz beregol rachmanatara. Up until now, we're saying that there is the usual chuma of an ama aretz, but on Yom Tov, the Torah says it's tahor. By the way, we're saying rachmana, which usually means the Torah, which would mean that this is daraisa, even though we said before, it's not really daraisa, it's really derabana. But okay, we had a positive by Yosef Kolish Yisrael Chaverim, so therefore we're calling it in a looser sense, rachmana. Anyway, so during the Yom Tov, yeah, you usually have a Tumah of the Amei Aretz, but now during the Yom Tov, based on that Pasuk, we're saying it's Tahor. Ela Hashta Tmei. But now, after the Yom Tov, it's Tahor. You have no basis to say that you can keep it until the next Yom Tov, and it should be considered Tahor again. So the Gemara says, Neima Ketanoi. Well, can we say that is subject to a machlokas Tanoim? Meaning, we had it in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yehuda says Yigmar, but leaving aside Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, he says that you can finish it even after the Yom Tov. You don't even have to wait for the next Yom Tov. But within the Chachamim's opinion that say Lo Yigmar, can we say that there's Machlokas Tanoim whether the Chachamim would allow you to leave it over for the next Yom Tov? The Tony Choda Yani Chena L'Regel Acher, because after all, you have one Braisa says you can leave it for the next Yom Tov, B'Tanya Idach Lo Yani Chena L'Regel Acher, and another Braisa says you can't. My Lav Tanoim. So, we should assume that is a Machlokas Tanoim within the opinion of the Chachamim. So therefore, the answer to the question, are you allowed to leave it for another Yom Tov, would be within the opinions of the Chachamim, there's Machlokes Tanoim, of two different braises. The Gemara says, no, not necessarily. You could say, Hode Katoni Yani Chen over Rabbi Yehuda. The one that said you can leave it for the next Yom Tov is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Hode Katoni, Lo Yani Chen, Rabbanon. The one who says that you can't leave it would be according to the Chachamim. Since the Halacha is like the Chachamim, then that's it. It would mean you can't leave it over. Gemara says, the Tisperah, how could you think it could be that way? Rabbi Yehuda says you can finish it after Yom Tov. He doesn't even require you to leave it over for the next Yom Tov. So why would Yani Chena be according to Rabbi Yehuda? And the answer is you're right. Ella Hodekatani lo Yani Chena Rabbi Yehuda. The other way around, the Braisa that says you don't leave it over for the next Yom Tov is according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Hodekatani Yani Chena Rabbanon, the one that says you can leave it over, would be according to the Chachamim. Umai lo Yani Chena. So what does the braisa mean when it says don't leave it over? It doesn't mean you can't leave it over. It means ain't sorich lahanicha. You don't need to leave it over because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't even need to. You can finish it right after that Yom Tov until it's used up. You're still allowed to use it and consider it tahor. So therefore, there's no proof that we have two braises disagreeing what the Chachamim say. On the contrary, we could say that we could learn either way. We could learn that both braises are within the opinion of the Chachamim, and therefore there's a machlokes tanoim. But we could also learn that the braise that's saying Yenichena is according to the Chachamim, and therefore that would mean even the Chachamim would allow you to leave it over for the next Yom Tov and use it then. So we're not sure. Okay. Mishnah says, Misha over her regal. after Yom Tov was over, Mavirin al Taras Azara. They would be Mavir on we'll explain in a second what the word Mavir means, al Taras Azara, for the Tara of the Azara. You consider, you have throughout the Yom Tov, people are coming on Aliyah L'Regel, including Amei Ha'aretz, and some of them are even touching the Kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. First of all, you have Kohenim, who are Amei Ha'aretz, and are coming and participating in the Avodah. You also have Yisraelim, that are allowed to touch certain of the Kelim, as we're going to discuss later. So therefore, so now, after Yom Tov, again, the Tumah of the Amei Ha'aretz was only suspended during the Yom Tov. Again, according to Rashi, in order not to embarrass them, and according to the Rambam, the way that Rebbe explains it, because during that time they constituted a tzibur. But after Yom Tov, retroactively, it's Tameh. So now we need to clean up the Azara. We need to be Matar the Kalim in the Azara. Rashi explains the word Mavirin means we move the Kalim from their places because we need to throw and toivel them. There's a few other explanations among Rishonim. The Tosfos Rid says that the word Mavirin means they announce. They announce we have to be Matar the Azara. And the Meiri gives a couple of explanations, well, a couple of other explanations. One of them, he says, is Ma'avirin, means they set everything else aside, they set all their other jobs aside in order to do the Taras Azara. Anyway, so the next Mishnah is going to explain how they did it, but first our Mishnah discusses the scheduling. Ava Haregel L'Yom Shishi, if Yom Tov is over on Friday, or actually most of them, of course, explain that it means if the Yom Tov ended on Thursday and Friday is Isruchag, loy hayu ma'avirin, then they wouldn't take care of the Tara of the Azara on that day. They would wait till after Shabbos. Mipnei kavod Shabbos, because of the honor of Shabbos, they have to be preparing. They have to be the Kohenim have households of their own after all. They have to be preparing for Shabbos on Friday. If you make them be matahir the Azara, they don't have time to take care of things in their houses. Rabbi Yehuda ma'af loy b'yom hay. Rabbi Yehuda says not even if it was on Thursday, meaning, again, according to most of the Mephoshim, it means if Isru Chag is on Thursday. So if Yom Tov ended on Wednesday, even if Isru Chag is on Thursday, you also wouldn't do the Taras Azara then, says Rabbi Yehuda. You'd wait till after Shabbos, but Shein HaKoinim Pnuyin, because the Koinim do not have free time on the day on Isru Chag. So what do we mean they don't have free time? Tana, so the Gemara says, we learn in a Braisa, Shein HaKoinim Pnuyin Milahoytzi Badeshin, because on Isru Chag, the Koinim are busy removing the ashes from the Mizbeach. You had in the middle of the Mizbeach, there was a pile called the Tapuach, where they would put the ashes. Normally, they'd clean it off on a regular basis. You have every day the Trumas Hadeshen, where they take a little bit of it off the Mizbeach and put it on the floor next to the Mizbeach, which we say in morning davening, the Somei Eitz on the Mizbeach. But then after that, whenever the pile got big, then they would take it outside Yerushalayim and deposit it over there. However, during Yom Tovim, during the Shalosh Regalim, they would not, because it looked more beautiful that the Mizbeach had a huge pile of ashes on it, it showed how many korbanos were being brought. So now after Yom Tov, they have a huge cleanup job. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, they're too busy with that on Isru Chag to be able to also deal with being the Tahir the Azara. Therefore, so if Yom Tov ended on any other day of the week, then fine. On Isru Chag, they do that. And the next day, then they do Taras Azara. But when Isru Chag is on Thursday, says Rabbi Yehuda, then Thursday they're busy with cleaning the ashes off from the Mizbeach. Friday, we don't want to make them do the Taras Azara because they're busy preparing in their own households for Shabbos. So therefore, in that case also, Rabbi Yehuda says, we're going to leave the Taras Azara until Sunday. I think we'll leave the last Mishnah and the Gemara on it for tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Thank you.
All right, Shukriyah, everyone. Tomorrow, Beis Hashem, we'll take up from the last Mishnah over here on the Amud and continue and finish off the Masechta, and with it the entire Seder Moed. Mazel Tov, everyone.
Yeah, Mazel Tov.